Smash Factor.
Ripping driver, going for it. Oh my goodness.
How about that tee shot?
That is crazy how far that is.
Wow. John Daly, take a back seat, big fella. How about that drive?
That's an aggressive line.
Look at this, he's just driven the green. He has just driven the green.
I guess, hello world, huh?
Welcome to another week on the PGA Tour. We get the third major of the year, the U.S. Open at Shinnecock, which looks to be quite the challenge per usual at this course. Going to have some crazy weather. We'll get into that in just a minute. Last week was pretty solid. Sorry I didn't get the pot out. My day job, my real job has been insanely busy, still is crazy busy. It's an early Wednesday morning. I'll put this out around lunchtime. Had two of the six first-round leaders, solid core last week, profit on the week overall. Doc in Slack, he turned 60 into like 3,000. He had some sweat on Sunday. Solid week heading into a major. Good to build the bankroll. If you want to join this week, if you do the monthly, that'll get you in all the way probably to the Open, pretty close, especially you get a seven-day risk-free trial. Use the code USOPEN, 30% off. You can use it for weekly, monthly, annual on content or full site. Both include the Slack. Full site gets you all the PGA tools, model builder, lineup generator, all the NFL tools. NFL's just around the corner. If you have any questions on that, just reach out to me. Of course, we're at Shinnecock Hills. We're somewhat familiar with it. Some of us was playing DK back in 2018 when they were last here and Brooks won. That was actually probably my best summer ever, right after the U.S. Open. Actually, I went on that crazy month run of three or four six-figure hits in that month run of 2018. Maybe we'll start that a little early this year and start this week. Par 70, going to be tough course. We know that. Huge fairways. As you've heard the guys, I haven't listened to much pods. I'll do that a lot today as I'm going around doing all my stuff. But I have tried to listen to some of the pressers and stuff. But, you know, I think the perception leading into it was large fairways makes it easier. And then you hear a lot of the guys, and like with the wind, it kind of corners you into a certain part, so not as long. And I think I even heard Adam Scott last night say, you know, he's not going to sacrifice the chance of going in the rough to hit to a certain part of the fairway. He's just going to be looking to hit the middle of the fairway no matter what. So obviously that tells you, you know, it's definitely in their eyes a must to hit the fairway and have a good shot at the green. Missing these greens, which will probably happen quite a bit with the wind being what it is, especially the first couple of days. Around the green is going to be important. Grinding, you're probably going to see an over par score, potentially win it. I definitely, you know, I think the last time it was here, I want to say the cut was like +7 or +8. Could see something like that again for sure. Top 60 in ties here, so not 65, a little tougher cut to make. We typically see low sixes at the U.S. Open. You know, as far as, you know, you got the fast, quick, bent greens, bent POA type greens, super fast. They're going to, you know, we've heard some of it already. They're talking about syringing them and keeping them, you know, a little bit wet, even Thursday and Friday during the rounds. I think they are going to let the players know how they plan on attacking it ahead of time, so it's not like a surprise or anything. And it's mainly because of the wind. As it sets this morning, which is super early Wednesday again, you know, we're 30 hours away from the first tee time, 28 hours away from the first tee time. Today looks nice, so that'll be good for the guys, but I don't know how much it'll help them prep. But tomorrow just looks brutal. The interesting thing is going to be, does any rain come? If so, how much? And then at what point does it get so windy that they have to pull the guys off the course? That'll be probably the biggest factor in how late do we want to get content out and trying to nail a wave. I don't know that there's going to be a wave. I mean, tomorrow it literally maybe the first hour or two will be a lot less windy, but it's still going to be 25 to 30 gust. But, you know, that prime afternoon, 12, 1, 2 o'clock, it starts getting 40. Some spots it's showing 50 miles an hour gust plus. The consistent winds are 15 to 25 all day long. I don't see 50 mile an hour gusts them being able to play with the balls on the green, I think would be the biggest issue. The key with that, the biggest thing with that for us is if they pull them off, how long do they pull them off? And if you think you have a wave advantage, does that blow that up? Friday looks way better. Still windy, 10 to 15 on the regular, and then gusting, 20 maybe. A little earlier in the morning, may have a little bit of that stronger gust, 25, 30 left over from the day before. But for the most part, it's, 10 to 20 miles an hour all day long. Not near as bad, no big gust, and it's pretty consistent. So there's no real advantage Friday. But if for some reason there was a delay long enough that some of these guys got to play, half of their round one plus all their round two on Friday, that would be a huge advantage. Now, predicting that and knowing that, probably almost impossible. They are going off in split tees, so it's not like everybody will go off one and you can define a true wave stack. It'll be tricky. I think probably the best bet is to try to, identify the potential and maybe do multiple combinations. If you're doing your single inch or your three max, I think it will be difficult. You're just going to take, your best educated guess on which way you want to lean into it. There's not this huge window Thursday morning where you're like, oh, the guys going out early are going to have massive advantage. They could have some. But again, if you got, what's the latest tee time? Round one is 2:42 Eastern. So if they have a 2 hour delay, 3 hour delay with the winds, who knows how that would shake out? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. We'll listen today. They'll have the press conference and stuff today to get a better idea of how they plan to handle the greens and stuff and what they anticipate. That middle afternoon Thursday is really the key. How are they going to handle that? And at what point would they have to pull guys off, and how much of a delay does that impact any kind of potential wave stacking we may imply that, could be there? Saturday looks like in between Thursday and Friday, stronger than Friday, not near as strong as Thursday. I don't see anything that would keep them off the course. You're going to be probably 20 to 30. Still going to be tough, but I think they'll be able to play through it. And Sunday looks the best right now. Now, that's the furthest away. Things could change, but it looks almost perfect. 5 to 10, you may get a gust in there, 15, but that would be the day that, you could see some scoring and people come from chasing back, depending on how much they get beat up the first 3 days. I think it's going to be brutal. It's going to be a tough challenge, and you're going to probably need some luck, not only for us doing DraftKings, but the golfers themselves on, not only the draw, but just how the weather comes when they're out there. Is there a pocket of, 2.5 hours where they get pretty decent conditions and they can take advantage most of the round and then hold on, finish, get done? If you're going out early Thursday, maybe you hope that wind pushes off and you get most of your round in and can post a decent number and then just wait for the carnage and see what's left Friday. Maybe you're going off late Thursday and you hope maybe there's a 2 hour delay or something and you get similar conditions to the guys that went out early and you get to finish up Friday. There's a lot of unknown that we'll just have to, take that all into consideration when we get to tonight in building. All my stuff I've done today, I really haven't factored in a wave advantage because I don't know that there is one that we can lock in right now with the unknown of would they pull them off because of the wind. Now, to say that, there is no storms or lightning or anything. They may get a little bit of rain, but there's nothing that would pull them off rain-wise. The only thing would be, is it too windy, with the issue on the greens? It'll probably be talked about a lot today and all the pods you listen to, but that's my thoughts. We'll see how we handle it. I see the cut probably being I don't know if he gets a plus eight, but you know, it wouldn't shock me to see a plus six, plus seven type number with the way that these conditions look the first 2 days. Winner, you know, Brooks won it at plus one. I find it hard, even though Sunday looks scoreable, I don't see many people getting better than par. I think it's probably a over number. Someone could get a good enough break through the first few days that, you know, they're sitting there maybe plus three going into Sunday, and they can shoot a four under round with a better condition, something like that, and you may be at minus one, minus two. I don't see much better than a three or four under winning it, and I probably lean more towards over par winning it. Tough, brutal tests in general. Stats I'm looking at this week: good drive, stroke gain irons, bogey avoidance, good approach around the green, and opportunities inside 30 feet. Putting, course fit, recent form, per usual. Most of these guys have not played this course. There are a handful that played it back in 28, but a lot of them have not played it at all. Salary ranges, which is a kind of a unique way they've done it this time. I don't think I've seen it quite like this. Six in the 10K and above, three in the 9K. I don't think I've seen that before. Eight in the 8K, 13 in the 7K, 51 in the 6K, 75 in the 5K. Scotty's at 14.9, 2,700 more than Rory, which is the next highest, 3,400 more than Rahm, 3,900 more than Bryson, which are the next highest at 11.5 and 11 flat. Yeah, I mean, what is that? 21, 30 guys are 7,000 or higher. So, I mean, you get 126 guys that are 6,900 or less. I mean, there's not many up there in that range, that 7K and above range. So, and then you get, you know, the massive up pricing on Scotty, which with the 5K range, that, you know, and ton of 6K range for that matter, you may not need to go to the 5K range. It's doable. I don't know that he's worthy of being that much higher than Rory. You know, Cam Young, he's 4,400 higher than Young. Xander, he's 4,800 higher. You know, I think he's the best still, obviously, and I think, you know, he's got a great shot to win this, especially with the way he plays. I just don't know if he's that much higher than, you know, better than everybody else. And you can make the builds work for sure. The question is, where are you comfortable going down low, or would you rather stay in some of these, you know, hybrid balance type builds and not have to dip down there? I know on the 1-3 max, that's probably where I'm leaning. MME, you know, I may mix and match with some stars and scrubs, if you want to call it that, and some hybrid stuff. Yet to be seen. I'll have to see where I think Scotty ends on the ownership. If he's going to be high owned, you know, and the high price, you know, decisions to be made there. Because I could see a world where with his price, you don't, you may not need him even if he happens to win. The problem with that this week is I think the finishing positions are going to make up a vast majority of the total points, way more than usual. And you may need the winner regardless of the price, but can you get the right combos? That, you know, which is always the game. And then when he's that high, I didn't know where they were going to put him, but I thought him and Rory would be a little closer, maybe them both in the 13,000 range, or maybe like Rory's 12.9 and Scotty's 13.9, something like that. I didn't see that big of a gap, but it is what it is. We got to play the same pricing. Sweet 16, I'll give you three that I like. Only two in the 8K range, since there's only, what'd I say, seven or eight. Bubble Boy, Fade of the Week, Sleeper of the Week, some gut fill plays, top five that pop, and two long shots, and then my early one and done, and we will wrap it up and get out of here. So for me, 9K and above, Young is definitely, you know, probably the top for me right now, or one of my favorites, pricing and everything considered. He does go out early for whatever that matters right now. Again, not factoring that at all as it sits right now. I mean, definitely as we get more data and we get towards the night, it will be a factor. But at some point, you got to kind of draw the line and put the content out, because everybody wants to, you know, get it in. It'll, you know, I think the first tee time is like, I know it's locks here is like 5:30 or so 6:30 Eastern. So you gotta, you know, it's a fine line on waiting as long as we can to kind of see how the weather looks, plus get it out in time for the subscribers. Young's playing solid. I know the putter's kind of hadn't been as strong, but you know, he's, I think, got on the wrong screen for a second. Fourth in good drives, 14 in irons, you know, top 29 or better in all the stats I've looked at that I'm pulling in. Fourth last year at the U.S. Open. You know, probably not coming in as hot as he was earlier in the year, but, you know, I think grind it out type situation and putting, again, he's way better putting than he has been, but I think the tough, you know, even par type deal may play to his advantage, not need to make as many birdies, because I don't think he'll make, I think he's good at avoiding the bogeys. You know, I think he's 15th in the field. And so I like all that. 10-5, definitely plan on having a lot of him. Oberg, 9,200, another guy that I think can do a good job at bogey avoidance at times. You know, played a lot of golf in West Texas at Texas Tech, so I know he's familiar with the wind. I think that could be an advantage. It's not the end-all be-all, but 9,200 feels like a solid price for him. I'm sure he'll be owned. I'll continue to ride, you know, he always seems to be there in majors, you know, even at an early age right now. Missed the cut last year, 12, 2 years ago, though, but I just think the upside's there. And at that price, I definitely like him a lot this week. Then Rory, not a guy I play usually a whole lot. I'm interested to kind of see where things shake out between him and Scheffler as far as ownership. I still think Scheffler will be higher owned, but I think Rory will be owned, but not too crazy. You know, maybe that 17 to 19 range, under 20, I think, for sure. And I think Scotty still says 20 plus, maybe hits 25. We'll see how things look, but he's played solid. I mean, his last five U.S. Opens, 7th, 5th, 2nd, 2nd, 19th, all different kind of courses. So it just kind of gives you that, you know, he can grind, you know, 12th at Memorial. Overall, I just, if he's going to be in that lower own range, I may wind up trying to get overweight on him, and I may be lighter on Scotty. Again, I still think Scotty's better overall right now, but I don't think the gap is a 2,700. That's what I'm having difficulties kind of reasoning. Definitely a guy that I plan on having some this week. And the bubble boy is Scheffler, and it's simply the pricing is what it is, and you can make it work. It's just how comfortable are you with the builds? I think it's still viable. There's some 5K guys that I certainly don't mind playing. I don't know that I want to play. I definitely don't think I get over the weight. I'm probably going to be even with him at best, but I want to see where we think ownership kind of comes in, you know, compared to the field and the pricing mixed in there. He's a favorite by far still to win it. He certainly, you know, he goes out early, which is an advantage. So to Rory, which could be an advantage, you know, not factoring that in, but they do happen to go out early. So the 14-9 just makes those builds look a little tough, but that's the only reason for the bubble boys of pricing. So 9K and above, Young, 10-5, Oberg, 9-2, Rory, 12-2, and then Scheffler, 14-9. 8K and above, or 8K range, I like Hatton. I remember it was either last year or 2 years ago where he talked about, you know, because people thought maybe the U.S. Open would frustrate him, but he mentioned in one of his pressers or something to the effect of, he really doesn't, it actually doesn't bother him because it brings everybody else to his level of kind of craziness. And the, you know, he's always in that mindset is kind of what he said. So when everybody else comes to his level, he feels it's more of an advantage. 8,700 feels like a good price. I mean, probably a little worried that, you know, the reps with the whole issues going on with Liv, but he's still been playing good over there. I have no reason not to like him or the price. One of my favorite plays, all things given. Next up, Goddard up 8-2. He is a guy that I think can, you know, shot shape his way around the course. You know, obviously here in Oklahoma, we have tons of wind all the time. West Texas obviously is brutal as well, but we get plenty of 30, 40 mile an hour. My last two junior tournaments my kiddo played in, I mean, we had 40, 45-mile-hour gusts at times. So you play in it plenty here. And he mentioned that, you know, one of the things coming from Jersey to the 1 year he played at Oklahoma, that was one thing that was he got to work on and learn was having to play in the wind. So I like his game overall. 82 feels cheap for him, actually, in my mind. I know the overall game doesn't pop like some of the other guys. This is more of a, you know, gut feel to an extent that I think he can just get it done in this type of situation. I think he can grind out a good score and be in the mix come Sunday. I think he can play the shots in the wind that keep him in it. Bubble boy for me, Fitzpatrick, Matt, I guess they're both in it, so I should say that. But only because of, I think he's going to be the highest owned by, maybe not by far, but I think he will be the highest owned in the 8K range. He gets the old Best Buy pricing, 8,900. I'll be playing him. He's just the bubble boy only because there's only eight in this range, first of all. And then, you know, I think he'll be the highest owned. So just, I'd probably just be cognizant of, you know, if you're going heavy on some of the other chalk, you know, where do you want to max your chalk in certain builds? Do I do max two of these certain three guys or four guys or something so you don't mix and match too much chalk? But I'll be playing him. He's just the bubble boy because of ownership. Everything else looks great. And I think he can play, you know, he's won a US Open. I think his mindset is built for this type of stuff. I don't think the conditions will bother him. You know, second at Canadian Open, 36th at Memorial, third in bogey avoidance, third in irons, third around the green. Putter can let him down at times, but I think he can, you know, do well enough to be right there come Sunday with a chance to win as well. And I do like his price. So 8K range, there's only eight. That's why I only did three this time. But 8,700, Hatton, 8,200, got her up, 8,900, Fitzpatrick. 7K range, Reed, another guy that I just kind of picture, you know, creative, get around the course, grind it out. Probably my only worry for him would be, again, lack of reps. You know, is he, you know, but he's done okay this year in other times. 7,900 feels like another, you know, kind of that Best Buy pricing, but a solid price for him. He's probably in that 10% ownership range, so I'm not too worried about that. Just a great gritty type. There is some stats and everything I'm pulling in, but there is a profile you kind of want to think about too, is, you know, can this guy grind out through 30-mile-an-hour winds and grind out pars and save a big bogey and stay in the hunt until, you know, better conditions or whatever, make it through to the weekend and stuff and just give yourself a chance. My gut tells me most of the people that make it to the weekend, the top 16 ties, are probably going to be within reach of a chance to, you know, either win or be up, you know, get up inside the top 10 with a good round on Sunday. Similar to, you know, Fleetwood's done many times. And I want to say he did it here at Shinnecock. He shot like 62 or something on that Sunday and, you know, stormed at the leaderboard. I don't remember what he finished, but top three or five and came from way back that week. And I think we can see something like that again. Next for me, Spieth, again, same profile. I think he can grind out shot shape. Putter still hasn't really fully got there for him. But, you know, the way he's been ball striking and at 7,100 just feels, I don't want to say too cheap, but just kind of maybe just because we're used to seeing him, but it feels like a really good price. And I think he's got the, you know, ability, you know, to be your fourth or fifth in your lineup. You know, now you're looking at, you know, can he give you a top 25 plus upside? And I certainly see that with him. So 7,100, I definitely like him. Siwoo, 7,200, probably one of, if not the highest owned on the slate. That price feels off with the way he's been playing. Super consistent all year. Probably the only negative is just not done a whole lot in the Open, U.S. Opens. He's made the cut, though, four out of the last 5 years. Excuse me. Allergies are crazy with all the pollen and stuff going around. But he's finished literally 40th, 39th, 32nd, 42nd. So he's kind of made the cut and just kind of hovered. I do think he's playing as good as golf as ever. 10th at Memorial, 2nd at CJ Cup. Price just feels off. So we'll see how much he gets owned. He's another guy who kind of keeping that bucket. You know, I'm probably not wanting to start, you know, Scheffler, Rory, Fitz, Siwoo, you know, those three, you know, whichever one you want to go up top. And then you go Fitz, Siwoo. I mean, that's a probably a pretty chalky build. I'm not sure if you can go Scheffler, Fitz, Siwoo, and then drop. I hadn't really messed around with builds yet right now. I've just been focusing on the course, the conditions, and kind of working through all that. Bubble boy for me is Burns. I do think he can do well here. Kind of grind it out. His iron play can get, you know, off at times. And so can the around the green game be strong enough? We know he can be super lights out putting. But I think he'll be the highest owned in this range, 7,700. With the way he's been playing. So only reason for bubble boy for him is ownership as well. I plan on probably playing some. He's probably my least favorite of the Bubble Boys. Like, I like Fitz and Chef. It's just a matter of, can I fit them? Do I want to play them? Burns, I'm okay probably being lighter than usual on, or potential fade if I want to get some chalk out of my player pool. I don't mind him overall. I just worry if he has to lean on the putter too much. I don't know that that will save you enough this week. Could, but does he have enough short game? You know, I think he's 40th in bogey avoidance, 51st around the green. Obviously, these are different conditions and stuff, but he's been playing solid, so I'm definitely keep him there, but that's the reason for the Bubble Boy for now. There's some more I want to dig into. So 7,000 range, Reed 7,900, Spieth 7,100, Siwoo 7,200, Bubble Boys Burns at 7,700. 6K range, Retton 6,900, continues to play solid. Feels like a super good price for him. Probably a little ownership comes with it, but there's so many people in the 5 and 6K range. Like I mentioned, 126 between the two, 51 in the 6 and 75 in the 5. I just don't see a ton of super chalk. So down there, I'm not going to worry as much. I'm going to try to mix and match my chalk from above and then just play the ones I like down below. I'm probably not going to spread it out too much. Just kind of take in the ones I truly like and hope they can get through. Maybe in like a 150 max, I get a little bit bigger pool. But I want to have convictions on the one that I feel strong about. I like him. I like his overall game. Putting can be off at times. I think he's like 78th in this field in the deep dive stats on the putting side. Course fit though, 13th. Rolling stats, 24th. He does go out early. Again, don't know if that matters right now, but for what it's worth, good price. I like him a lot. The other Fitzpatrick, 6,600. I like him. He's been grinding. He's been playing great since he, you know, fully went to the PGA Tour. 20th last week, 6th at Memorial. Number one in course fit. Now that's limited data, but that's taken several courses that I think are somewhat similar to here that he's played, but in all of these guys that I say that on, but like the price, 6,600. I'll have plenty of him in the pool for sure. Keith Mitchell, 6,200. Didn't think I'd be going there per se, but he's only played the U.S. Open once in the last 5 years. But he made it. He was 20th, 29th last week, 5th at CJ Cup. I just think the price and his, you know, overall, he's a more of a boomer bust. He's definitely probably more of a MME 20, 50 max, you know, plus, you know, all the way to 150 lineups. I don't think he's in my 3 max type pool. But a guy that, you know, if I need to get down the 6K range, I'm picking a few guys. He's one that I don't mind. Bubble boy for me, Cam Smith, 6,900. You know, we saw some life at the Masters. You know, is he going to continue that? We know his game should fit, you know, that grinded out, tough, shot making, very creative, short game, putting, all that, I think. In his heyday, I think he'd be, you know, if he was on tour or playing a lot more, this would be a really good fit for him. Hopefully he stays a little under the radar. I like him a lot at 6,900. Only reason for the Bubble Boy is just, you know, we know the history has not been great, but he did show some fight at the Masters. I can't remember if he played the PGA and what he did there, but I like him. I don't think we'll see too much ownership on any of these guys, so I'm not too worried about that. He'll be in the pool, maybe flirt with a potential, you know, 3 max type build, but definitely 20 max and better. He'll be a guy that I like. Fade of the week for me is Clark, 7,800. Looks like he's getting a ton of ownership. Quite possibly could be the highest own in that range. I think he'll be up there with Burns. I may get some of them, but he's definitely a guy that I'll be light on at best. Heavy on the putter. He is playing great. I mean, that's the one positive deal. I got to cut some chalk out somewhere, and he's a guy that I would probably be lighter on than most. He did win the U.S. Open. This is not going to play anything remotely close to that course. And he can get in trouble if he's spraying it. Now, again, these are big, but, you know, if he's pushing it and the wind pushes it and he winds up in that rough more than not, I think he can get in trouble. But the other four opens outside of that are U.S. Opens, miscut, miscut, miscut 56. So besides the one that he won, hasn't done too well. I don't like his mindset, grinded out type stuff. Maybe he's gotten better, but just a guy that if he's going to be owned, he's one that I'm willing to be light on and miss out on this week. Sleeper of the week for me, Suber. We saw the upside last week. Had a chance to win it. Fourth there, fourth at CJ Cup. 5,600 just feels like a good price. He's got enough upside and positives that I'll just – I'm just taking the talent, and he's a guy in the 5K range. I don't know how many I get down there, but he's definitely one that I like, and I think he's, you know, sub 3 or 4% this week, 5%. I don't see him getting over 5%, so definitely fits that mold for me. Some gut feel plays. Rahm, I like Rahm. He's played the U.S. Open well. I just wish we could add more data, see how he's playing. You know, you're kind of going off gut feel there, which that's why he's in the gut feel play category. But a first, a 10th, a 12th, and a 7th, his last four U.S. Opens. So, you know, 11-5 if you want to go. I like Rory and Scheffler better, but he's cheaper. I like Young and Oberg better to save the money, but in the middle, maybe that causes him to get squeezed. He's typically pretty popular, though, so I think he'll still get some ownership. Neiman, 7,400, a guy I'll maybe take some chances on this week. Spahn, 7,500. Could worry a little bit about, you know, if the winds get crazy, you know, does he have enough power to last? We know the rest of the game can save him. He's on the bubble. He's a guy I don't mind. Cantley, for sure, probably, you know, makes that 20 max or better pool. Fleetwood, you know, he was on the right on the bubble, being in the core up top. We know he can grind. Good win player. Don't mind him. Knapp. Interesting to see the ownership there, you know, with the injury stuff. You know, I assume he's fully healthy, and if he is, his game I would love normally, but does he have rust? Is he going to struggle? That's my only concern there. Colley coming off the win. He was in my core last week. The win kind of sucks because I'm sure it'll pop some more, but I definitely will still have some of him. Xander, 10-1. I mostly will have especially in 150 max, most of these guys up top, I plan on having some. There's not many I don't like. Just mix and match per se. Kiefer, 6,100, a guy I don't mind if I need to save some money. He's a guy I put in the pool. Brooks with the whole, I'm interested to kind of see some more feedback. I haven't listened to his presser yet. I've heard clippets of it and snippets of it that, you know, he's getting feels better every day. Does that hold the ownership down? Because I think otherwise he would have been, you know, a pretty popular play. Say he finishes, you know, he withdrew going into round four, but say he finishes top five last week, I think he would have been really popular. So if we get discount on him ownership-wise, I don't mind getting a little overweight there. Kitayama, tough courses. I like him. JT, that grinded out. Definitely don't mind him. Not as high, but definitely a gut fill play. Ben Griffin, Aaron Rye, Adam Scott, Minwoo, Hovland, all those guys in that range. I don't mind all those. Are all probably possible for, you know, the MME pools. And then, you know, Jackson Koivin, this is his last amateur. He announced he's going pro. On the talent, I don't mind having some of him at 6,300 either. And then the last one, probably Smalley, just because he plays tough course as well. Burned a lot of people at Memorial, including me. 6,800, though, I don't mind going back to him there. Betting top five, the pop and two long shots for me. Young, 22-1. Oberg, 30-1. Reed, 40. Brooks, 50. Goddard up, 45. Couple longest shots. Spieth, 80. Retton, 90. Don't mind those. Could mix and match. I don't know that I get anything lower than Cam this week. Maybe Fitz. I think he's a little bit lower in spots. You know, look around. There's plenty of spots, you know, as far as your books go. But those are guys I pretty much like kind of in the middle there. And kind of hope you avoid Scotty or Rory, you know, running away from the pack. One and done. Obviously, I think you probably have saved a certain person for this week. So if you have your Scheffler, your Rory, Rahm, whoever, you know, you probably go there. But outside of those top guys that you've probably saved specifically for this week, Xander, you know, I like Brooks. You may not have used him. I like Reed. You may still have him available. Goddard up. He got popular there for a little bit, but he potentially, you know, maybe you still have him. Oberg probably has been used, but maybe you were saving him for this or a little bit later on in the year. I don't mind going there. Fitzpatrick, this could have been a definitely a place where a lot of people saved him for. I got a feeling that people saved Rahm. They saved him maybe for the Open, but you may just, he could, I mean, he's done well here too, but those are kind of where I'm at. Cam Young would probably be my favorite if you saved him this long. Maybe this was, you pegged it the whole time. Or maybe it was Scheffler, and people have used Scheffler a ton now that he's not very used this week. So it'd be a great time to pull that out and use, you know, use him for this week. But outside those are the ones I like. So again, you can use US Open, 30% off. If you get the monthly, it'll probably get you all the way through to the Open with the week free as well. Should be a great time. We're right around the corner from college football and NFL. Always awesome time for us. We, you know, I stand by. We had the best college football Slack for sure, and then product as well. Should be a great season coming up. Looking forward to this week. I love watching great challenges on an awesome course. The course looks awesome on TV. You know, we'll have long days on it. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be fun. Hope you guys have a great week and good luck.